We are holding on Chaf Aleph from Amud Beis, about 10 lines from the bottom. The line begins with who? We learned yesterday about a bunch of the Shniyos. There were the ones that you're not allowed to marry Midrabanan. But now comes another one. So far we had a bunch of them. We discussed the rationales behind a bunch of them. Shalach Lerab Mashashi Mitusniya Lerab Papi. Mashashi Mitusniya sent the following question to Rab Papi. Yulamdenu Rabbeinu, Rebbe, teach us. Eishes Achi Avi Ha'av. What about the wife of your father's father's brother? So this is, you're talking about your great uncle, your great uncle's wife. And your father's father's sister. So both of them are your great aunts, one by marriage, one by blood. Mahu, what would be the din? Do we say midulamata ervolamailanami gozrube? Do we say, well, since an aunt in the first generation above you is Osir, then the Chachamim would have also asked the generation above that, either by blood or marriage? Maybe not. Maybe we say that the generations have been separated enough. In other words, there's already enough of a separation between you and them that we're not going to be gozer on that. Now, why would we say that that's any different, for example, than daughters-in-law that we said yesterday goes down more generations than that? One idea is that there's a difference between relationships where they're related to you or where they're married to your children or grandchildren or what have you, versus here we're talking about where they're married to your great uncle or where they they're the sister of your grandfather. It's not as close a relationship. Maybe there's more of a reason to argue we shouldn't be gozer on it.
As you go up, as you go up, these people are older. How can it be realistic that you have?
Well, you know, first of all, people had children at young ages in those days, so it could be. But second of all, consider, for example, imagine, for example, you know, you know, there are families here in Crown Heights, for example, where you have uncles who are younger than their nephews, right?
I have such a son.
Okay. So you could have then your great uncle is maybe not your age at least, but somewhere in the range at least where you, you know.
The question I have is that that's true what you said, but if you look at the other angle, from the great aunt's perspective, you're going down to somebody similar as you would go to your daughter-in-laws, etc.
No, but it's not, because here we're talking about, for example, we're talking about your grandfather's wife. This
right.
is actually, I said before, it's your great aunt. It's actually, so to speak, a step aunt.
Okay.
Yeah, because this isn't the wife of your grandfather from whom you're descended. This is the
right.
second wife. Yeah.
But from her perspective.
So from her perspective, it's what? It's her husband's. It's her husband's grandchild. Yeah, but it's not really the same thing.
And your daughter-in-law's descendant?
So we said yesterday that your daughter-in-law is also minatara, your children's daughter-in-law are also midrabanan, and your grandchildren's daughters-in-law are also midrabanan. And we talked about, does it go indefinitely or does it stop at some point?
Your grandchildren's daughters-in-law and so on are not very different from your great aunt's.
No, but there is a difference because they're married to your descendant. Yeah. Tashma, well, come, let's bring a proof. The Braised said Mahin Shnius. The Braised listed the Shnius v'leikachashiv l'rubat dayu, and it didn't mention these. So obviously they must be mutter. The answer is simple. Tana v'shayu, you can say that the Tana left out. He listed some things and he left out others. My Shire to High Shire, famous question. If you're going to say that the Tana left out things, what else did he leave out? Besides that, if he left out a bunch of things, fine. You could say he didn't have to list all of them. He listed some of them, and we're expected to know the others from other sources or to figure them out logically or whatever. But if he only leaves out one thing, we would assume that he has a reason for leaving that out. Obviously, he doesn't hold of it. The answer is Shio Shnias to Rebchia. He left out the Shnias of Rebchia, which we'll learn on Chaf Beis Meral. If Rebchia has a Braisa, we list more Shnias that we haven't talked yet.
The fact that this question to Rav Papi includes two different women...
That doesn't matter, really.
It doesn't matter. It's one thing.
It's essentially one thing, yeah. Because it's essentially one way of looking at it, based on the rule we said yesterday that if the relative herself is female, then the corresponding wife of the male one is also. So it's effectively the same thing. The Gemara says, Amemer achshav eishes achi avi aviv. So Amemer actually said that it is kosher to marry your grandfather's brother's wife, so your great step aunt, or your great aunt, uvachoyis avi aviv and your grandfather's sister. These two things that we just asked about, he said, are mutter. Amalei Rav Hillel Rav Ashi, Rav Hillel says to Rav Ashi, how could that be? How could those possibly be mutter? L'bidi chazili shnias mar brei de Rabbana. I personally saw a list of shnias that was drawn up by mar brei de Rabbana. Now Rabbana means our Rebbe. So he might mean, by mar brei de Rabbana, he might actually mean mar brei Rav Ashi. He's talking to Rav Ashi now. Mar brei de Rabbana might be famous mar brei Rav Ashi, your son. So I saw a list drawn up by him. Uchtivan shitzirei le'isura. And it says there that there were 16 cases that are also. Now, apparently Rav Hillel didn't remember what the exact 16 cases were, he just remembered the number, but still, my love, presumably those 16 consist of Tamini de Masnissa, the 8 that we said in the Braisa that we had yesterday, the Shis de Verochia, the 6 that Rochia is going to list soon, the Hanach Mahanach Tarti, and the 2 that we just asked about, Hoshitzere, so that makes 16. So obviously these two must be also. How is it possible that Amemer held their mutter? Okay, my answer is back to the time Shibsereh Havyan. According to your logic, it's really 17. There's yet another one that we talked about before that's not listed in the Braisa before and it's not listed in Rabchia's Braisa, but we figured out yesterday's also. We have a case of your mother's brother on her mother's side, where his wife is also to you. And we said, even though the Braisa doesn't mention it specifically, we said that that's still also, so there's a 17th. So obviously the list can't really be accurate anyway. So the Gemara says, Holei Kasha, okay, that's not a big deal. Hanach Tauti, the Dami and Lahadodi, Kachada Chashiv Lehu. The two that are similar to each other, we're considering like one. Namely, the two that we just asked about, the grandfather's sister, and the grandfather's sister-in-law, both of them are pretty similar. We might as well consider them as one. So you back down to 16. So you have the 14 from the two brises. You have the mother's brother on the mother's side, his wife, that we said yesterday. And then we have one 16th case, which includes both of these. Still, the question is, okay, but you're telling me Amemer said that those two cases, fine, you want to call them one case, whatever. You're telling me Amemer said they're also. This list apparently implied that they're Amemer said they're mutter. This list apparently implied that they're also, because otherwise you only have 15. Amalei, so Rav Ashi tells him, so what's the problem? So let's look according to your own Svara. If it said in this list instead that these two cases are mutter, would you necessarily be Samech on that? Okay, it's a list that was drawn up by Ma'a B'rei D'Rabbana. Do you know for a fact, did he sign it? Does it represent his official opinion? Or maybe it's just, you know, it's notes that he was taking and maybe it's not meant to be completely accurate. Hashanami, so the same thing. Okay, so instead a list of 16 cases that are also. Lazma, Brei D'Rabbana, Chasim Alayu, he's not signed on them. It doesn't necessarily, you can't necessarily prove anything from an anonymous list that you saw. Even if you recognize his handwriting, you can't necessarily prove from that against Amemer. This is, by the way, there's a famous expression that they use in a lot of places when you have something that supposedly someone said something, but you're not really sure if it came from him. There's a popular expression, Lav Ma Brei Rabashi Chasim Alayu. It comes from this Gemara over here. Yeah. Is the halacha in fact like a meimar or not? Tosfos quotes from Rabbeinu Chananel and from Shiltas that yes. We're saying that maybe we're saying that fine, you know, the list is not signed. That's just it. We're saying the list is not signed just because there's a list there that says 16 doesn't mean necessarily the halacha is like that. So the halacha in the end would be like a memer. However, then the re quotes and toast was maybe not. Next. Rav Chia learned in a braisa. So there's more cases of shnius that we haven't talked about yet. Shlishi shebibnoi v'shebibitoi, the third generation of going down from your son or daughter, meaning, in other words, your son's son's daughter, so your great granddaughter from your great granddaughter, where the two generations above her are in the line from you are males. V'shebibitoi, and from the daughter's side, meaning your daughter's son's daughter, which those are the only ones we need to mention because the actual granddaughters themselves are Erev and Atara. So the third generation is Shnius, Vishabha ben Ishtoi, Vishabha Vas Ishtoi, or also the same third generation from your son, from your wife's son or your wife's daughter. Again, we're talking about the wife was previously married, has had another marriage or whatever, another relationship, and has children from that. The third generation from them, so your step great grandchildren. And all of those are Shnia. And Revi, Shabbachamos is Shnia. Also the fourth away from you on your father-in-law's or mother-in-law's side is also an Erev. And by fourth over you, we don't mean four generations up. What we mean is actually counting the wife as generation number one. You're considered a zero. The wife counts as number one. Then three generations up from her is Aser. The wife's great-grandparents. Yeah, three generations before her. So, Ravina, why is it when we're listing the generations above the ancestors, we're counting the wife as generation number one, and therefore we're calling the ones that are also the fourth generation? Why is it when we're going downward, we just say three generations, meaning exactly that? Son, granddaughter, and great granddaughter. We're not counting the wife and calling it the fourth. What's the reason for the difference in terminology? The answer is l'mayla de isur mekayach ishtei kasi. Because when you're talking about going upward, why are these people also? Because they're the ancestors of your wife. Therefore, chashiv la. Therefore, you should count her instead of counting her as the zeroth generation. It's you we're talking about, whether you're mutter to marry them or not. She is one person away from you. So therefore, you have she's one. Her parents are two. Her grandparents are three, and her great grandparents are four. Lamata di isur alav mikach ishtei kasi. Whereas when you're going downward, the isur doesn't come because of the wife. The isur is because these are your descendants. Like a chashiv la. So therefore, there's no reason to list her. So you count yourself as zero. Your children are one, etc. Okay, then the question is, ben ishtei or bas ishtei di sur mekoyach ishtei kasi. What about, we said your step great grandchildren, those do come from your wife because those aren't your blood relations, they're only hers. And yet we're not counting her. Again, we call it the third generation, even though counting from you, it's really four people away because you have the wife, the child, the grandchild, and the great grandchild. And the answer is, I did a ton of shloisha dertus lamata didei. Once we're counting three generations going down from you, and you don't count the wife because it's not really tied to her, it's more tied to you. Tananami gimel dertus lamata didei. So, but for parallelism, we also, when we're counting her descendants, we're counting her as if she's the zeroth generation. And that the zeroth person rather than the first person. And just in order to keep things straight.
Just curiosity, when you're counting ancestors from you, they're also going as a zero, just so they're in parallel.
Right, but what we're talking about is when in Rav Chiya's list over here, he wasn't talking about your ancestors, because whichever of your ancestors are also Midaraisa or Daraisa, and whichever ones are Durabanan have already been dealt with in the previous Midaraisa. We're dealing now with your wife's ancestors, whom up until now we haven't been talking about them. Yeah. Now, Amalei Rav Ashi Rav Kahana. What about Shnius de Beir Rav Chiya? Yesh lahen hefsek or ain lahen hefsek? These Shnius that Rav Chiya has in this list over here, is there a hefsek to them or not? Meaning, do we keep on going with them indefinitely? We said yesterday that there were four cases where we said ain lahen hefsek, where it keeps on going indefinitely. For example, you're not allowed to marry your grandmother or your great-grandmother or your great-great-grandmother, etc. And we had similarly with daughters-in-law and granddaughters-in-law and great-granddaughters-in-law, etc. But in principle, if it were possible, and you know what we were saying yesterday about Yaakov, in principle Yaakov Avinu would be also to marry any of our wives because they would be his great, etc. However many times over, daughter-in-law. So is there a hefsek? So is there a hefsek by the shnius of Rav Chiya? For example, if he's saying that you're not allowed to marry, he's saying you're not allowed to marry your daughter's son's daughter. But would you be allowed to marry your daughter's son's daughter's daughter? Let's say your great granddaughter. Then you're talking about.
Great
No, daughter's son's daughter, we said, is one of the shnias. What about your daughter's son's daughter's daughter? So then you're already talking about your great granddaughter.
Your daughter's son's daughter is your great granddaughter.
Is your great granddaughter, and one generation more is great great granddaughter. Yeah. Tashma, come, let's bring a proof. To Amar Rav, Dalav Noshim, Yeshalan, Hepsik, Betulai. We said yesterday that Rav had said that there's only four cases where there's no Hepsik. Apparently, there's no more than that. The answer is you can't prove anything from that. Rav may be talking about relative to what we said in that Braisa, which listed the original eight shnias. Out of those eight shnias, four of them there's no Hepsik, and four of them do. Maybe he's not addressing the ones from Rav Chiya's Braisa at all. Tashma. Come, let's bring another proof. Shlishi Ravi, in Rav Chiya's Braisa, he specifically says the third generation, the third person away from you, or the fourth person away from you, above or below, as the case may be. Shlishi Ravi ain't Tveiloi. Apparently, it's only the third or fourth, respectively. That's also, but not more than that. And again, you can answer Joma Mishlishi Ve'elach Miravi Ve'elach. Not necessarily. Maybe he means the third and below, or the fourth and above. That's the minimum which is considered Shnias, because any less than that is going to be Daraita. But maybe it means it is going beyond that. So the Gemara leaves it at that. The Gemara leaves it unresolved. So what's Taka the Din? So there's actually a machlokas Rishonim about it. The Rambam holds they are actually Mutter, since we have a suffix on it, since the Gemara didn't answer the suffix. It's a suffix in the Dirabbanan, and a suffix Dirabbanan is the Kula. Other Rishonim talk about it may be only the Rabbanan, but it's a matter of Arayas, it's a matter of Shnias of Arayas, and you gotta be Machmir.
Great granddaughter.
Yeah. Amalei Ravim L'Rav Nachman. Chazi Mar Haim Rabbanan De'asim Mar Rav. Take a look and go see this rabbi who came from Eretz Yisrael, V'Amar, and he said, Bo Gomar Rav. They asked in Eretz Yisrael like this, Gozer Shnias Begerim, or Loi Gozer Shnias Begerim? Did they make this Gzera of Shnias on Gerim? A Ger, we're going to talk about in a minute, whether he's allowed to be married to his close relatives, biological relatives, but now, are we Gozer on him the Shnias? Can a Ger be married? We're not necessarily talking about, by the way, after he becomes a Ger, and they also became a Ger, whether he can marry them. Maybe we won't allow that. But if before they became Gerim, let's say a man was married to his grandmother, let's say, are we going to allow them to stay married after they became Gerim? Amalei, so he says to him, Hashna, you have to consider, of course, we can make a Kavach Haimer. Or Ma Erva Gufa, think about Arayas themselves. If really, Goyim should be Mutter in Arayas, because Gershon is Gai Kakar Mashemelud, as we'll say in a minute. Elab Shalayomer Boyin with Dusha Kamur or Dusha Kala, if it weren't for the fact that you're going to have a problem, there are certain Arayas that are also to Goyim under Shev Mitzvah Nenayach. A Ben Nayach, for example, is not allowed to marry his daughter or his sister on his mother's side, or there's six relatives, I think, that are also to a Goy, under Shev Mitzvah Nenayach. Why do we say, now, suppose, for example, a man and his daughter become Gerim together. In principle, they should be able to marry each other. Or they should be able to stay married if they were married beforehand, because they're Kakot and Shanola. They're like newborns. They have no relatives. But we're Gozer that not, because we don't want them to say, Boin with Kedusha Chamura, with Kedusha Pala. You're coming from a stronger Kedusha to a weaker Kedusha. Like, what is this? As Goyim, we're not allowed to marry such people, but as Jews we are, they're not going to realize this is the business of having Kakot and Shanola dummy. They're going to think that Judaism is less is
better off beforehand.
Not better off. I mean, if anything, it's more strict on them. But like, you know, how could it be that you become a Jew and you have more mitzvahs, but all of a sudden you're allowed to do something that previously you weren't allowed to?
Even though you are prohibited to six relationships, not prohibited to only relationships.
Yeah.
But certain relationships, you can go back if you're allowed to.
Right. Exactly. Not so much though. Well, that's the question. Actually, is it what the other guy might say, or is that the Ger himself is going to think that? And yet, so if it weren't for that, like Gozer Bohur Rabbanan, if not for that, the Rabbanan never would have made such Gzeira. It's only because of that consideration. Shnias Miboyas, how much more so the Shnias? Obviously, they weren't also in the Shnias when they were Goyim. There's no reason we should make such Gzeira on them as Gerim. Amr of Nachman. So Rav Nachman says, Geirim hoyov also the other name of Umilsa. Since we're speaking about Geirim, let's also mention another din that we should know about Geirim that has to do with their pre-Geirus relationships versus post-Geirus. Achin mina ein lo ya'idu. Now, as one thing we have to know as background for this is there's a difference when it comes to goyim between relationships on the mother's side versus on the father's side. A goy is considered related to his relative. A goy is considered related to his relatives only on his mother's side, for at least certain purposes in halacha, because I mean they all came from the same mother, but a goy for certain purposes, in particular for arayas, is not considered to be related, at least not in the same way, to his father's side of the family. We learn this actually from in next week's parasha. We have Avram telling Avimelech, why am I going around presenting Sarah as my sister all the time? Because after all, achoisi bas avihi, achloi bas imi, she is my sister on my father's side. She actually wasn't a sister, she was a niece, but whatever, on my father's side, because Haran and him shared a father, but not a mother. Haran was born from a different father. Achloi bas imi, but we don't have the same mother. And therefore, batihili leisha, therefore I marry her. The implication is, if she had been related to him on his mother's side, if she had been a sister on his mother's side, he would be also to marry her. And they're b'nei noyach at that time. They're not. This is before Matan Torah. So therefore, we see there's a difference between relationships on the mother's side and on the father's side. So these goyim. So achin mina aim lo ya'idu. So if you have two brothers, two goyish brothers from the mother's side who became geirim, they should not say edus one on another in Beis Din. One should not say edus that affects the other. They may either edus and edus, but if they did, then their edus is a good edus after all, because b'di'evit, because gershon is carried to cotton shneilim. On the other hand, achin mina aim mina av meidin lachatchila. But if they're only brothers from the father's side, then they can be made lachatchila. We don't consider b'chol that they have any relationship, even when they were goyim. We don't consider them to have been really related. No, afilo achin mina aim nami meidin lachatchila. No, he says even if they're brothers from the mother's side, so they were considered related when they were goyim, they're still allowed to testify for each other in Beis Din. So then what's the difference? What's the difference with arayas? Why are we saying with arayas that the ones that were also to them beforehand, which are all on the mother's side, are also to them still after they become Jews? But we're saying that edus, that we're saying that when it comes to edus, we do consider their relationship as broken up. The reason is edus lakol masura. Erva lakol masura. Arayas is in everybody's hands. Anybody can get married on their own. You don't necessarily need a Beis Din for it. So if you have so here we have actually a new factor that we're bringing in. Before we were saying it's a problem that the goy himself or other goyim whatever are going to think that Judaism is less moral than the Shev Mesos Bnei Noach. Now we're bringing in a new idea. This ger may be confused. Other people may confuse him with a regular born Jew. They're going to think if this ger is allowed to marry relatives on his mother's side, then maybe born Jews are also. And the fact is they're not. It's Arayas Minatorah. So therefore, we're going to be goyzer that goyim should not do that either. On the other hand, Edus the Beis Din Masura. On the other hand, Edus is given over to Beis Din. They can figure out whether you're supposed to be giving Edus or not. And therefore, it's not a problem because the ger should is guy. Cotton Chanel, the dummy, the famous thing, that a ger, when he becomes a ger who converts, is considered like a newborn. So all of his previous relationships are gone. The only reason why we're still considering is relationships from before, as far as Arayas, because you don't want people to get mixed up. Now, so it comes out then that what the Gemara is effectively saying is you have two different reasons why Arayas are also to a goy. One, because Kedusha Chamora and Kedusha Kala, and the other because Erva Lakol Masura, and you don't want people to get mixed up. So why do we need two reasons? The Tosfos discussed is because you have two different kinds of relatives that are also to a ger. You have the ones that were also to him back when he was a goy, namely six relatives on his mother's side, and then you have the ones that are also to Jews, namely the ones on the father's side. So therefore, we have two different things over here. The ones that are also on the mother's side continue to be also to him as a ger because shalosh yemei b'vonim v'kedusha chamora v'kedusha kala. You don't want them to think something that was also to me as a goy is now mutter to me as a Jew. It doesn't look right. The ones on the father's side that never were also to him in the first place as a goy, those were going to also to him for a different reason, namely this reason of erva lakol masura, that we don't want other people to mistakenly think, born Jews, to think mistakenly that they can marry their father's relatives on their father's side. That's one idea. The Rambam seems to have a different shita. The primary thing really is this is kedusha chamor of kedusha kalav business, and therefore the Kesef Mishnah explains how the Rambam would explain our Gemara. That is the essential thing. We're mentioning Erva Lakom Asura, but that's kind of a side thing. The essential thing is that we don't want kedusha chamor of kedusha kalav. And in fact, the Rambam paskins, if I remember correctly, that a ger is allowed to marry relatives on the father's side who ordinarily for a born Jew would be a raias to him, because there's no kedusha chamura, kedusha kala issue. They were never offered to him in the first place. I don't know what chila, but at least b'di'evet. Mishnah says, Mishi yesh le'och mikol machom, somebody who has any kind of brother, we'll say in the Gemara what that means, zoykik es eshes ochiv le'yibum. Then that he makes a zika, he makes it, that his brother's wife, if the brother dies childless, is going to need yibum. And such a brother is considered a brother for all purposes, except for somebody who has a brother who his father had with a shifcha knanis, or with a goita, where they're not considered, as we'll learn over the next couple of days, they're not considered Jews at all. They're not considered Jews at all, and they're not considered your brother at all. We're talking about from different mothers. For example, we're talking about so you have a man with you have Yaakov was married to a Jewish woman, Rachel, and he also had a relationship with a shifcha knanis. He had a son from each of the from the marriage and a son from the brother. They're not considered brothers. So therefore, if now this Reuben dies childless, there's no his wife is not subject to Yibum Chalitza because he has no brother. Conversely, Mishyeshle Ben Mikomakum, anybody who has any kind of son, Poitu Ashes Avim in a Yibum, then he patters his father's wife from Yibum, because Yibum only applies when you're Ubein Ein Loi, when he doesn't have any children, as we'll talk about in the Gemara. So even if he has a son of any kind, as the Gemara is going to say, even a mamzer, then that already patters her from Yibum.
Son or child?
Child. Yeah, you're right. Okay, it means child. V'chayev, and while we're mentioning that, v'chayev amakosev akilulasei, but in general, we consider this child to be his father's child for all purposes, so he'd be chayev malkus, or actually Mrs. Bastin, for hitting or for cursing his father. We don't say, in other words, because he's a mamzer, then maybe he's not considered really related to his father. And he's a son for all purposes. And again, unless we're talking about a person who has a child from a shifcha or from a goyter, where then we don't consider that his child.
Mamish is not his child.
Yeah. So meaning, in other words, again. Well, there is that. But there's also, what we're saying for our purposes over here is that if he dies then, and the only child he has is a child from a shifcha or whatever, his wife still needs yibum. If he has other brothers.
Oh, that's the point. Yeah,
that's
okay.
The point, yeah.
That
child is not considered his child.
Just quickly, half-brothers, like two brothers, same father,
it's called a tenure.
And the other
we learned that from the sons of Yaakov, we said the other day. We learned Gzeder Shava from the sons of Yaakov. They had four different mothers, but they all had one father, and they're called Achim.
And they're called Achim. How about the other way around?
No,
Two
brothers who had the same mother, or not?
Two different fathers, the same mother.
Not considered Achim. They're considered Achim as far as Arias. They're not considered Achim as far as Yibum.
Okay.
Yeah. Mikol Mokum Lasu Yimai. What are we coming to include with the word Mikol Mokum? I'm going to be heard of Lasu Yimam there. It comes to include, even if a person has a brother, or in the second part of the Mishnah, a son who's a mamzer, it's still considered his brother or his son for all purposes. No, not necessarily. Just mikol makom means any kind, whatever kind of brother or whatever kind of son it is. Ask Pshita Achiv. Well, of course, even if the mom's there, it's his brother. And the answer is maybe not necessarily. Ma'ar detema leilaf achva achim imine Yaakov. We said the other day, we make Zeder Shava, the word achim, from the sons of Yaakov. So we would think, malahalan k'sherin v'leib sulim, just like by the sons of Yaakov, all of them are kosher, none of them are mamzerim. Achkan k'sherin v'leib sulim. So you would think maybe they're only considered achim if they're both kosher. Kamash Malan, that's the chiddush of the Mishnah that now. The question is, ve'ema hachinami. Maybe taka, after all. What makes you say that they are considered achim even if he's a mamzer? Maybe taka not. Maybe where do you know otherwise? If we're making a gzeder shava from b'nei Yaakov, a gzeder shava. The answer is, kivin de le'inyim yibum mifter nifter, since when it comes to yibum, the the fact that the person has a son who is a mamzer, pater is his father's wife, or wives, from chalitza and from yibum, which we'll learn on Amud Beis, where we learn that from. Once, in other words, we establish that a mamzer is considered his father's son, as far as patering the wife from chalitza or yibum, miskuk nami zokuk, then by the same logic, he's also considered his brother's brother, in the sense that he requires the wife to have chalitza or yibum. Then we said, this mamzer is considered his brother for all purposes. What do we mean for all purposes? It means that he can yarshin him. We know that if a brother dies childless, then his brother yarshins him. So this mamzer can yarshin his brother. And also that if a kohen has a brother who is a mamzer, he can be metame for his funeral. Just like a kosher brother. And again, the question is, pshita, well, of course, achivu, he's his brother, why would we think otherwise? The answer is, sakadai dechamina, because you might have thought, hoyol chziv ki'im l'sh'eri akarev elav, since we find when the Torah lists the relatives that a kohen is allowed to become tamei for, it says, for she'eroi who's close to him, va'omamar she'eroi zu'ishta, and we learn in a braisa that the word she'eroi means his wife, she'eroi literally means his flesh, so it means his wife, v'hoyol v'asar achad. And then the pasuk continues. It says that a husband among his people should not become tamei to defile himself, which means yesh baal shemetamei v'yesh baal shein metamei, which means that in some cases the husband can become tamei mes, and in other cases not. Okay, so what does that mean? Metamei hu l'ishtik sheira v'ein metamei l'ishtik psula. He can only become tamei if his wife is kosher, if he's allowed to be married for her, but not if she's posel. If kohen, for example, marries a grusha, which he's not allowed to do, then he's also not allowed to become tamei for her, because she can't be considered in that sense we don't consider her his wife, even though kedushin are typhus and everything, but still we don't allow him to be metamei mes for her. So by the same logic, pachnami metamei hu la'ach kasher ve'en metamei la'ach pasul. So you would think maybe he can only be metamei for a brother who's a kasher person, but not for a mamzer. Kamash v'lo, that's the chiddush, that no, he can still be metamei for him. And again, the question is ve'em hachinami. Taka, where do you know that from? Maybe Taka, a kohen can't be metame for his brother if he's a mamzer. The answer is hosam la'apuki kiyama. In that, there's a difference between a wife and a brother. When a person is married to a wife who's not suitable for him, who's possible for him, yes, she's supposed to be sent away. He's supposed to divorce her. So even as of now, we consider she can't really be considered his wife for all purposes. Hacha achivu. Here, a brother is a brother. You never disown a brother. So therefore, yes, he may be a mamzer, but he's still your brother. Well, that's besides the point. True, the mamzer himself didn't do anything wrong. Okay, but I mean, this grusha herself didn't necessarily do anything wrong either. What if the kohen forced her into the marriage, you know? But, you know, okay. Yes, we learned actually, I think it was in Brachas, that there was a kohen named Yosef HaKohen, who his wife passed away, it was in Sachem, I don't remember, his wife passed away Erev Pesach. He didn't want to go to the funeral and become Tamei Mes, because then he's not going to be able to bring a Korban Pesach, and they forced him to. Yeah. That's what we're saying, yeah. Actually, the truth is that Rambam holds a little bit differently. That Rambam holds that there's a difference between the other six relatives and the wife. The other six relatives are listed explicitly in the Torah. The wife only, it all says is she'era, and we're darshaning from it that it means the wife. The Rambam says that no, what it really is like this. A person's wife, because he's the one responsible for her, and nobody else is, she's a mes mitzvah, effectively. Well, a kohen can be metamah for a mes mitzvah. But either way, even according to the Rambam, we're only giving that exemption of mes mitzvah if she's supposed to be married to him. If she's not supposed to be married to him, let other people deal with it. Then it's a mes mitzvah, then there's no choice, but yeah. I guess in that case, yeah.
Brother is a mamzer, and the sister-in-law falls to her.
Mm-hmm.
Now, she's not allowed to marry him.
No, they won't be able to do yibum. That's true. I should have mentioned that. It means there's a zika. They're going to have to do chalitza. Yeah, we had in the previous mission, actually. Suppose that you have the surviving brother is a mamzer, we're saying. He can't do yibum with this woman, because he's also to her by a lav. He's a mamzer. But there is a zika, and kedushin would be toifus if he were to do it. Like we said the other day, in principle, even bia rishona would be allowed. So therefore, he needs to do chalitza.
Yeah,
so he needs to do chalitza. Right. Yeah. We said it. Tosfos was asked actually why our Mishnah has to mention this case. Didn't we have the previous Mishnah where he said Itzulav has to do Chalitza? The answer is Tosfos said the difference is the previous Mishnah you might have thought it's talking about, let's say, both brothers are mamzerim. Here we're talking about, let's say, one brother is kosher and one's a mamzer. So those are two different cases.
What does it mean? Mishi is part of the Makkah, right?
So he has a brother of any kind, meaning even a brother who's a mamzer.
Okay.
That's Ishtoi. So he makes wife required now to do chalitza. Well, it has to be chalitza then. It can't be yibum with him, but yeah. There's a zika, but you can only do chalitza because, and again, according to the machshana of the Gemara, in midaraisa you'd actually be able to do yibum, but you'd only be able to do bia rishona. Midrabanan, we don't want that. We don't want you might do bia shnia and then forget. So therefore, they asked to even bia rishona and said just do chalitza. Then we said in the Mishnah, Chutz mi mishi yesh le'achman ha-shivcha min evedet chachavim, we said except for a person who has a brother from a shivcha or from a goita, my timer, why, how do we know that? Because the pasuk says, ha-isha v'yaladeh, t'yaladeh now. We find by an evedet ivri, that the master, his master is allowed to give him a shivcha knanis, and when he goes free after the 6 years or yovel or what have you, then the woman and her children stay with the master. They stay as shvachas and avadim. So we see the children go after the mother in that case. And again, this is one proof. And then tomorrow on Daf Chaf Gimel, the Gemara will point out there's more proofs there. We touched already. We touched on it already a few days ago.
And it's just obvious. If the brothers from a non-Jewish woman.
Yeah. Well, here the Gemara is not taking that up really. Yeah. Here we're mainly taking up the Shifcha. Yeah. The Mishnah had said that if a person has a child of any kind, and he pater his mother or stepmother or whatever from Chalitza or Yibum, again, what does the Mikol Mokum come to include? Again, it comes to include a mamzer. My timer, now, what's the reason? Now, before the question was Pshita. Here we're saying not so much pshita. We already established before that a mamzer is considered a child. But b'chalal, how do we know that a person who has a child who's a mamzer, how do we know his wife is potter from chalitza or from yibum? The answer is da'amar kro uvein ein loy. The pasuk says he does not have a son. With the word ein, we dash an ayin olav. We dash in either some mafoshim say that we instead of an aleph we put an ayin. We find a lot of times you can interchange like that in other places. Rashi talks about over here actually it could have said the word ein without the yud. We have the word me'ein, for example, which is without a yud and means they refuse. So the word ein ubein ein lo could have been spelled without the yud. Once it's spelled with the yud, we can dash in from it that it means ayin olav. Check into it. Check if he has any kind of descendant that can be considered his descendant, lahalacha, even if it's a potel and even if it's a mamzer, nevertheless though, he has a child and therefore there's no zika. Then we say another interesting idea that some mafoshim say is the word ein actually in a way has a double meaning. It means not. But also we know throughout the Gemara the word ein means yes. So therefore, it's kind of a combination. It's a no and a yes. It means if there's any kind of child, then it's not a complete. Then there's not. Then you can't say Urbain Ainloy. He has some kind of child. And we said the chayav amakase. We said that this child, the mamzer, is chayav of punishment for hitting or for cursing his father. Question is, am I? Why would he be chayav? Shouldn't we apply here the pasuk? Where does the Torah say you're not allowed to curse your parents? The Torah says the person who curses his parents is chayav misa. Where does it say that? But we know you can't have in oin shinelim kin mazhirin. There has to be a loisa somewhere in the Torah that says there's nothing everywhere that says in the Torah do not curse your parents. But no, there's a general statement. Don't curse a leader among your people. But we learn from that, from the fact that it says new people, means ba'osim, I say amcha, only if he's acting the way a yid should act. So if he's a rasha, you'd be allowed to hit him or curse him.
Is there another pasuk about cursing?
Let's right, okay, that's true.
A regular person.
Right, that would be for a regular person, right. But since it's all part of the same basic loisa, we don't count them as separate loisa. There's one basic loisa, not to curse any yid. since in one place by Venasi it says Ba'amcha, so we learn it's only Ba'usim Ha'amcha. We're talking B'Shem Hashem, yeah. So then, if this mamzer, now his father obviously is an Ogre Aveira, because the very fact that he has a mamzer as a son. That's exactly what the Gemara is going to say. We're assuming, yeah. So then why is the son Chayev? The answer is, the Omer of Pinchas Breder, Papa Ba'otza Tshuva, we learned at the end of Chagiga, we have the case over there of Ganovim, who stole Kalim, and then afterwards they returned them. And we said if they're returning them as they're doing Tshuva, then we trust them to say that they didn't touch any of the other Kalim around the house. Because once they're doing tshuva, then they're going to do it properly. Hachanami, sh'asa tshuva. Same thing over here. You could say, like you just said, at one time, years ago, the father was an Ogre Averis and had a son, a mamzer. Since then, he did tshuva. But now, you are chayav for hitting or cursing him.
I mean, the poor father did tshuva now because they can send
him to the That's what we're saying, yeah. What do you mean? What do you mean? High back tshuva? You're telling me such a person is able to do tshuva? Perhaps not, but we learned also in Chagiga. Shimon Menachem, Ezom Uvas Lo Yuchal Liska, and what is considered a crooked thing that can never be made straight. Zahabala Erva Bahar the Men of Mamzer. Somebody who has relations with an Erva, and they have a son of Mamzer. The very fact that we're talking about, he has a son of Mamzer who's hitting him or cursing him, shows that he hasn't been able to do complete tshuva. The answer is Hashemia Oisa Maisa Amchu. Okay, his tshuva may not be 100% complete because there's still the mamzer is still existing over there, as we learned as we talked about then. You know, what's explained in the famous story with the Alter Rebbe and Rabbi Yosef Beshentovitz there. And in Shira Masefa Tanya, you know, there would be possible Tshuva Me'ava where there isn't the mamzer anymore, but the person hasn't reached that level. Okay, so he hasn't done Tshuva Me'ava, but at least now he's doing Oysa Ma'isa Amcha. He's acting like a Yid should be acting. Tanan Rabbanan, we learn in a Braisa, Habar Lachose V'hibas Eishas Aviv, if a person has relations with a sister who is also his father's wife's daughter, so in other words, his father and mother were married, and... Okay, so... Give me the halachah, please. Thanks. So a person has a full sister. See, they have the same father and the same mother, and he has relations with her. Now there's two different mitzvahs in the Torah that bear on this. Number one, the Torah says you're not allowed to have relations with your sister, and she's your sister. And number two, the Torah says you're not allowed to have relations with your father's wife's daughter. And she's that too. That's the question. Are you chayev for two? Are you chayev for two averus or only for one? If it comes to malchus, are you going to get two malchus or one? If it comes to a chatas, you're
going to get one stone right
there. Yeah. There's a case that the Mishnah mentions in Kritos where a person can be chayev six chatas for one beer. Something like, I think the Rambam extends it a little further and says you can actually get eight. But yeah.
Yeah.
You can have a pretty convoluted family tree there. Here it's much more straightforward, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway. Hello? So, Chayev Mishum HaChoytzev U'mishum Bas Eish HaSaviv. So the Tanakhama says, yes, you'll be Chayev on both counts. She's your sister, she's your father's wife's daughter, and therefore you're going to be Chayev for both Lavin.
Right.
So twice Malkus, so twice Chata, so depending whether the Shogun or Bemezin. Rabbi Yosi ben Yehuda, I mean, chayev in the mishmach choyse bovad, v'loim if nei bas eishas aviv. Rabbi Yosi ben Yehuda says, no, you're only chayev on the grounds that she's your sister. You ignore the fact that she's your father's wife's daughter. My time out of the Rabbanon, what's the Rabbanon's reason? They say like this, Amri, mechti ksiv. Now let's consider, the Pasuk says, erva achoyzcha bas avicha oy bas imecha. The Pasuk says, the erva of your sister, the daughter of your father, or the daughter of your mother. So, So what do we need to know? The pasuk that tells us your father's wife's daughter is an erva. Evidently, the idea is that yes, a person would be chayv on both grounds. If two different psukim, so two different isurim. If they were master on him on both things, then Rabbanan are saying you're going to get malchus twice. Yeah? Or if he did it for shogeg, he's going to have to win two chatois. What would Rabbi Yosi ben Yehuda answer to that? He says, "Amakra achoyzcha he." The pasuk finishes off over there. She is your sister, which means it's a mix. Mishum achoyzay at mechayev, you can only be mechayev him on the grounds that she's his sister. V'yat mechayev mishum baseish esaviv, you cannot be mechayev him on the other grounds as well. V'rabbanon hayachoyzcha he mayavilei. Okay, what did the Rabbanon do with the word he? They say you need that in order to tell us that you'd be chayev if the sister is the daughter of your father and of your mother. In other words, if you share both parents, which was the original case we're talking about. Now you would think it's an obvious kavachomer. If your sister on your father's side is an erva, and your sister on your mother's side is an erva, how much more so if you share both parents? But we have a rule, ein mazhirin min adin. You can't warn somebody based on you can't have a warning on something based on a kavachomer. You can say maybe it's a lav based on a kavachomer, but you can't punish him on that basis. We said earlier in the Masechta, ein onshin min adin. You can't punish somebody based on learning something from a kavachomer. So therefore the pasuk has to use the extra word achos chashi to tell you that in any case where she's your sister, regardless of it's mother only, father only, or both, you're always chayev. And in addition, because you have this other pasuk, because you have eres achos eres bas eishes avicha, then you have that as well. Well, if Bas Eishes Aviv presupposes that they're married, right? That's the thing. If they weren't married, then it's only Achoisei. Then it's only Achoisei for sure. That's not Bas Eishes Aviv, sure. Not really a ribui. We're saying any kind of Achoisei, whatever kind of sister she is, she's still Achoisei. Yeah. Rav Yosi ben Yehuda, what does he answer to that? He says, "Im kein lister achmar Achoisei." Fine, I agree to that. But in that case, all the Torah has to write is Achoscha, your sister. He, lovely, what do you need the extra word he? That would be, like I said, Mishum Achoscha atam achayiv, yatam achayiv, Mishum asei shesavu. That would be to tell us you're only chayiv on the grounds that she's your sister, not on the grounds that she's your father's wife's daughter. V'rabbanon, what did the Rabbanon answer back to that? Isn't that a good point? They say, Afagav dichtiv achoscha. True, the Torah does say the word achoscha. It's tzrich lemichta he. But you still need the word he as well. Shalotema ba'alma mazhirin min adin. Because if it weren't for that, we might say like this. You know what? In this case, we would say like this. You know what? Normally, actually, you can use a kavachomer as a basis for declaring a lav and punishing somebody. So in that case, why does the Torah B'chal have to say the word Achoscha? We would say, okay, Milta Da'atim, Kavachomer, Tarach B'chazav Lakra. We would say, okay, sometimes you have something that could have been logically learned by a Kavachomer, but the Pasuk still takes the trouble to mention it explicitly. But still, therefore, Chazav Rachman, he. So therefore, the Torah writes the word he to tell us it's not just in this one case where we could have used a Kavachomer. And instead the Pasuk writes it. There's no case where we can use a kavachomer to establish a lav that you can be punished for. The word achoscha is telling you in this specific case, and the word he is telling you in all the other cases as well. What does he answer to that? He says, "In kein lichtav rachman al achoscha, he be'idach kara." If that's the case, then why b'chalal is this word achoschahi? What is it doing b'chalal in the pasuk talking about your father's wife's sister? Let it say in the pasuk we're talking about a sister. Erbas achoscha basavicha oivasimecha. Let it say right there achoschahi l'sigal erbasa. And then, yeah, we would understand from that it means that we're learning achoisa no matter what kind of sister, and he is throughout the Torah, we never ain't ancient radin. The fact that the Torah is putting this word achoisa he all of a sudden by a father's wife's daughter implies that in that case we only say she yuchayev on that ground and not because of baseisha zavicha. Okay. So far, so good. Rabbi Yosi ben Yehuda, hi, bas eishes avicha, my avidlei. So, new, what does Rabbi Yosi ben Yehuda do with this iser of your father's wife's daughter? If he's saying that your father's wife's daughter is your sister, and he's saying you're only chayev on the grounds of a sister, so why b'chal do we need an iser of bas eishes avicha? The answer is, mibayle mishiyeshle ishus l'avicha. He says that this is coming to teach us that the din only applies to someone who your father would have issues with, someone who your father would be capable of marrying. As opposed to if she's your sister, where her mother was a shivcha or a goita, where then your father has no issues with her, Well, then, therefore, she's not considered your sister. Now, let's clarify. When we say she'ain ishus la'avichaba, we don't mean. We're going to get back in a minute to what about chayva krisis? Chayva krisis is also in kedushin tokes, and what about that? So we'll get back to that in a minute. But so far, what we're saying is a shifer or a goita where there's no way that kedushin can be tokes with them, not your father and not anybody else. Then a sister from that is not considered a sister. That's what it means, vatsheishus avicha. Not that she's actually married to your father, but that she would have been capable of marrying your father. Why? Maybe it taka means that only if your father is actually married to her. Maybe if your father was ma'anis a woman and they had a daughter, maybe you're not chayev. The answer is avulay motis amrit midurava. You can't say that because we have what Rava said. The Rava Rami, because Rava pointed out a contradiction between the psukim. The pasuk says that you're not allowed to have relations with your son's daughter or your daughter's daughter. Which would imply, but if it's your step grandchildren, your wife's granddaughter, you would be allowed. But then we have another pasuk. But then we have another pasuk that says you're not allowed to do gilui arayis with a woman and her granddaughter. So what is it? Is your step granddaughter also a mutter? And the answer is okay. That kan ba'onsin kan b'nisuin. One is talking about where there was oinus involved. It wasn't a marriage. So then, yes, you're allowed to marry her. You're allowed to marry your anusa's granddaughter, because she was never your wife in the first place. As opposed to Bini Surin, if you actually married her, then yes, you're also to marry her grandchildren as well. So therefore, we see from that what do we see from that? That's talking about grandchildren. The children, though, the children from that oinus itself would still be considered your children, and the grandchildren would still be considered your grandchildren. We're talking about if she had children from a different relationship, then they're allowed to you. But from your own relationship with her, even though it was oinus, even though it was outside of marriage, they're still also. By the same logic, then, your sister from an oinus is still your sister. So therefore, you can't possibly say that when the Torah says "Bas Eishes Avicha" means that you're not chayev on your sister if the two parents weren't married. Okay, if aim a proper chayev lavin, fine. Maybe say that the word "Bas Eishes Avicha" comes to exclude where the woman is also to where the mother is also to the father under a lav. Say, for example, the father married a mamzeres; they had a daughter. Maybe you should say, maybe the pasuk would apply, and that's not considered your sister, v'halacha. The answer is no. Amar apop, chai ve'lavin taksibu kedushin. We know, as a general rule, that chai ve'lavin, kedushin, are tofes. So therefore, you can't call it, you can't say that it's not bas esha tavicha. She is your father's isha. Okay, we said before he has to divorce her, but nevertheless, as long as they're married, she still is his isha. And we know that, dichtiv, how do we know, b'chlal, that chai v'lavin, that kedushin can be chal? The pasuk says, ki siyena l'ishtei nash. A person has two wives, ha'achas ahuva v'ha'achas snua. One is loved and one is hated. This is in at the beginning of Parshas Kisese, where the Torah says over there that you're not allowed to give preferential treatment to the son of the favored one. You have to, if the hated one had the older child, then he's the b'chor and he gets the double portion. Now we have to ask, yesh ahuva lifnei hamakom, yesh snua lifnei hamakom. Does whether you love or hate her have any significance to Hashem? Okay, so a person loves one wife and hates another. Why would the Torah even have a hava amina that we would think that therefore the Torah would allow you to play favorites like that? Ella, ahuva means ahuva b'nisuel. What does it mean ahuva? It means someone who her marriage is beloved by the Eibishter. It's something that's proper al pi halacha. Snua means snua b'nisira. Snua means the hated one, means that her marriage to the father is hated by Hashem. It's something which is author. And yet, for Amar Rachmana ki siyena. And yet the Torah says that if they will be, implying there is a being, there's a havaya, there is a kedushin or typhus by both of them. Even though she's snia, even though her marriage is hated because it's author under a lav, nevertheless the kedushin are still typhus. And that's what the Torah is saying. Even though you would think in that case her marriage was improper because also under a lav, maybe therefore you should play favorites and give the b'chorah to the son from the proper marriage. No, you don't do that. what we see from that, that we see from that anyway, that that's chayvei lavim kedushin artopus, and therefore kedushin artopus, you can't say that she wouldn't be called that she wouldn't be called Eishes Avicha, and her daughter wouldn't be called Bas Eishes Avicha. So obviously, a daughter like that is still considered your sister, and we'll continue tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem.
Oh, yeah.